Now we are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, is that okay? Yeah, are you ready? Let's do it. I'm ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Welcome to the News You Can't Lose with the Loser Leaves Wrestling Crew. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Moa Chaswell. Moa, how are we?
I'm doing great today. Red, how are you?
Yeah, I think I'm good, honestly. This has been a good morning. I did laundry and I ate oatmeal. What'd you eat for breakfast, Moa?
I ate oatmeal, too.
And we didn't talk about this, folks. This just accidentally happened. This is the type of content you're going to get from the Loser Leaves Wrestling Crew. We are talking about the News You Can't Lose from August 3rd until August 9th or something like that. I don't even know the dates. It's this week's news. The week of news. August
today's the
2nd. 8th. Today's the 8th. We're going to say it's the 9th, Moet. We're going to say it's the 9th because nothing happens on Sunday.
Because we're releasing. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't even have to cut that out because we want the full transparency. Full transparency on the News You Can't Lose. The biggest news story, I think, of the past week, we have The Rock purchasing the XFL. He's purchasing the XFL. The XFL went into bankruptcy this past April or May when Vince McMahon filed for Chapter 13, I believe it was. And there was a bunch of people suing, a bunch of creditors suing the XFL, but Rock's picking up the license and the branding, and I think some of the deals with the stadiums. Does this matter to you in any matter, Moet?
No. No, I what do you see in this, Red?
I kind of just think it's interesting. I very interested in the fact that Rock is purchasing a football league, expanding his already vast network of things that he's doing. I don't really care because I'm not going to watch, right?
I'm intrigued because I assume that brand was dead in the water. I couldn't believe that he would bring it back again. I just thought it was the dreams of a senile old billionaire, you know, like the rosebud for Vince McMahon. He's on his deathbed with like a little XFL snow globe or something.
like a little XFL football. Yeah. That just rolls off the bed and shatters.
It's what could have been, you know, mm-hmm. That's all he ever wanted. But so I don't know what The Rock has to do with this. I don't know what he sees in it, what the potential of the XFL could possibly be in his eyes.
If I may, because from a novice, I'm a very layman in terms of football knowledge. I know very little. But I do know there's a certain group of people, like a lot of people, that would love an alternative to the NFL. There's a lot of people that would want that in some way. I don't know why. You can't ask me why, but I know there is. And when they did the XFL 30 for 30 or whatever that ESPN thing where they focused on the XFL with Dick Ebersol and Vince McMahon, that renewed a lot of interest in it. And even at the end of that interview, Dick Ebersol and Vince are just like, we could still start that back up. They said that like 2 years ago. So it was a very interesting little cliffhanger to a 30 for 30. I think that the branding was still there and people, they're still clamoring for an alternative to the NFL. And I guess Vince was trying to capitalize on it, but, you know, God doesn't love him.
Yeah, again, this is going to be so boring, I think, for a lot of people. Listen to two people that don't know anything about sports talk about sports. But it's, oh, yeah.
That's such a good idea. We should have just us talking about sports news and trying to make sense of it. Oh, man, that's the news you can lose.
There you go. I like that there are major organizations at this point, you know, the A level, like NFL, the NBA, the NHL, because mm-hmm. I know what to tune into. I assume people that don't like wrestling know that, oh, I'll just watch WWE, you know.
You glad there's an AEW?
Yeah, because NBA player, basketball fans would be like, well, there's the NBA, but there's also college basketball. There's the NCAA. You know, you got to watch that stuff. That's where real basketball is. You know, and that's like our AEW or what have you. So I guess, is that what the XFL is trying to do? Like, they're trying to become that separate brand? Is that even possible?
The cooler alternative? Yeah, I think it is. Like, because they tried it with arena football. Do you remember arena football?
Vaguely, yeah, yeah.
Essentially, it was just a smaller field, so it was more action-packed, and touchdowns were kind of easier because it's a smaller place to run across. And they're just trying to make the game, I think, more exciting and also making the players work harder. because like there's incentives to winning rather than it just being, oh, you're making $50 million this year, you know?
Okay.
So I think that's interesting. That being said, we don't like football. We don't care. Like, it's there. We'll watch.
Not a fan of football.
Make us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like watching at a bar. I like watching at a bar or at a game and when I'm there. But I'll never tune in on my own.
I do like going to Super Bowl parties, but I do not like the Super Bowl. I like eating nachos. I am anti-football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't invite us to your Super Bowl. No, invite us to your Super Bowl parties. Do not invite us to part, like, Super Bowl watching where there's no food.
No, yeah, I invite me to your nacho parties.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what we're gonna call them.
Yeah,
when everyone's like, "Oh, you going to the Super Bowl party? Oh yeah, the nacho party this Sunday with all the commercials." Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Next story on the block, we have WWE is starting a new concept for Raw and I guess SmackDown. I'm not sure. It's called Raw Underground, where it's an MMA style. Underground street fight type matchups where I guess they're gonna have, maybe there's a separate roster for this type of matches. I'm not sure. They haven't really explained much besides hearing Shane McMahon scream how great this is while the wrestlers are fighting. Mohit, what are your thoughts on this new match concept?
It's kind of hard to see where it's going. I don't know how it plays into WWE right now in the programming. I thought the presentation was absurd and very 90s in a bad way.
Oh, interesting.
Like a B-movie 90s concept, you know? Like, but I like the idea of like an MMA-style wrestling. I was a big fan. I found out about that stuff in New Japan. I would see like shoot fights with like Suzuki and other people. Suzuki's just the only guy I could think of off the top of my head, where like it was a wrestling match, but they worked it in a shoot style. Because the both combatants knew MMA. And I think that would be cool here, because you have a lot of MMA-trained wrestlers now in WWE. At least Matt Riddle and Thatcher could do it really well.
And I just in talking about the aesthetic of it, like, I agree with you, it's very 90s B-movie. There's something about it that makes me... You ever played Def Jam Vendetta?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it
the
makes
90s.
Me feel like,
yeah.
Then that was 2000. That was on PS2.
Oh, got it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but like that, it had kind of that feel, which I kind of like, even though it's weird. It is weird. And seeing Shane McMahon sweat around everywhere, I didn't need that. But I don't know, I think they could do better with the atmosphere, but I don't think they're in the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think so. It just sort of depends on if it's going to be like a, you know, like how much attention they put into it, if it's just going to be a random thing they do, or if they actually try and listen. Like Shane McMahon screaming throughout every fight was annoying. The girls dancing was kind of ridiculous, like only because they shot it like you would see them for only maybe a second, maybe 2 seconds, in all these weird angles, so they're clearly just there for like, you know, salacious intent, you know?
Yeah,
so that just kind of annoys me. I don't know, there's like a little things that bug me that just seem like they're like regressive.
Mohit, what did you think? What do you think is the first match that you saw that was a worked shoot style match? You know, like where it's like, oh, this is different than all the rules. This one's going to be a fight. Do you remember the first one that you saw like that in that manner?
Can't say the first. No, like there was a match on Wrestle Kingdom 10 or something. It was Suzuki versus somebody else. I just can't remember who he wrestled, but that was the first time I had seen that. It was my first time seeing Suzuki. And it was essentially just like a lot of hard chops and hit, stomps and stuff, and a lot of like worked arm bars and you know, submission holds. But you knew their backgrounds, like him and the other guy, whoever it was, they both had an MMA background, and you could tell they actually knew how to apply the holds properly. So like they would actually kind of grapple, you know, properly, and then someone would get him, you know, the other person in a sleeper hold and kind of hold it for a second, but then they would let go and let the other guy kind of flow off of them.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so unique and interesting. It's rare to see that style.
You ever see the Ken Shamrock, Owen Hart, Lions Den match?
No. I know, like, I've heard of it. I actually forgot about that.
It's like 1998 Fully Loaded, I think. It's somewhere in 98. And it's a really interesting match. Like, that's the, like, and then they did a Steve Blackman Ken Shamrock. And then I hadn't seen it for years, like that, oh, we're going to do a real one, but it's obviously a work. I guess the next one would be Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle and TNA. Do you remember that?
No, I didn't watch TNA either. I saw clips of it.
That's the only match I saw from that year of TNA. That's the only one.
And Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher did one about last month. They had.
I haven't seen that yet.
That one is fantastic. That one's so good. That shows the potential, I think. That one's, I think, more pro wrestling than MMA. But it doesn't matter. Like, those guys were were incredible. It was very entertaining. Yeah. You should check that match out.
I'm going to check it out. Yeah. I'm going to check it out. Hey, Loser Lee's Wrestling fans, you could follow us on Instagram, Loser Lee's Wrestling. Subscribe on YouTube. Make sure to check us out on Twitter at Loser Lee's Pod while you're at it, you know? And Facebook, we got that too. We're on all the platforms. What else we got here? WWE is starting a stable. They call it Chaos, I think. And essentially, it's a playoff Antifa.
Is that what's happening?
That's what I've read online, that it's like, because if you saw, I guess it was just yesterday, I saw some clips of it where they went into the ring, these masked people went into the ring and like chainsawed the ring ropes and they're just taking over and they're vandalizing. It feels like they're making a commentary, but I'm not sure. WWE specifically denied that it was talking about Antifa, but, you know, it feels like it. Do you have any thoughts on this? Is it appropriate? Is it just a gimmick? What are your thoughts?
I think it's definitely an influence, Antifa. I think the all black, not showing your faces, and I think it's a caricature. I think it's what like a conservative would want to see Antifa look like in pro wrestling. Like they're just there to cause chaos and destroy things and not be productive at all and scare people. Yeah.
The more I think about gimmicks in WWE, it's the way Vince McMahon sees that group. Like, he sees Antifa and he's just like, oh, they're terrorists. He sees 3-4 black guys and they're like, oh, you're Islamic militants. You know, like, you're the Nation of Domination. It's very interesting that they're constantly just through that lens of a 75-year-old man.
Yeah. The chainsaw thing was pretty cool, though. That was shocking.
Yeah. No, I'm into it. I'm not mad at the gimmick yet. I don't think they've done anything to warrant any anger. It may become tone deaf soon. I'm very excited to find out how. But no other thoughts about it. Are you pro it or against it?
I'm a big fan of these style storylines of like a rogue group that just destroys all sense of order in a ring. Like the last one I think about is NXT, the like very original NXT before they became their own brand and all that. Nexus, yes, when they surrounded John Cena and just destroyed the entire area. That was so exciting, but the problem is they dropped the ball so hard on that when it was at the time such a fresh and unique take on it that I just don't trust whatever is going to happen. While I did think yesterday was exciting and cool, I don't think they're going anywhere with it. They got to earn my trust again, is what I say.
Yeah. God, you have a lot of work to do before we let you come crawling back, WWE.
Yeah.
Next up, this is the most page 7 item that we've had today, and probably the most salacious news item that we've ever covered, by the way. Marty Jannetty admits the murder. Marty Jannetty on his Twitter was just talking about his time when he was like 13 and how he was at a bar and he uses some homophobic slurs to talk about this guy that was trying to potentially assault him. And he talks about how he killed him and threw him into the Chattahoochee River.
Sorry, that's not funny. I'm sorry. The way he said Chattahoochee.
We don't want anyone dead, but the idea of Marty Jannetty blatantly admitting to murder on his Twitter. And Columbus, Georgia, the police department there is investigating. They're trying to see if there's any missing persons from that time. And then I think Marty Jannetty even doubled down when he's asked to clarify. He's just like, yeah, well, he tried to touch me. I knew he was touching other boys. And so I, you know, killed him.
He said some nasty stuff afterwards in that doubling down. He said, he just kept saying, like, I don't want to say he's dead. I don't think he's dead. Don't want to say that. But then he goes into how he, like, hit him, bashed his head in with a brick and how to teach him a lesson and teach anyone else a lesson. But then he also said something about how he hates jealousy and how his girlfriends are jealous, and he wants to show them what happens if they're jealous, which is just the fucking worst. Yeah.
Do you remember a while ago he suggested that he wanted to have sex with his daughter?
Yeah, I try not to pay attention to him. But this is just so absurd, this murder thing. It's hard not to see it, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty fun stuff. Let's see. I hope he didn't murder anyone.
I know he's got like a long list of absurd things he's done since leaving WWE, right?
Yeah. He's been in a bad way. I can't wait to hear Shawn Michaels' comment on this. This is the last news item that we have today. We got Sammy Guevara used the wrong chair. This past Dynamite, he had a brawl with Matt Hardy where he threw a chair at Matt's head. He used the wrong chair. He didn't use a folding chair. He used a heavy, he used a different type of folding chair, a heavy one or something along those lines. Busted him open, and he got a stern talking to in the back. Do you think bygones be bygones? We move on from this, or do you think there should be further action for Sammy?
No, it's an interesting situation because I think it's both. I think it's right that he should have been, that he had a talking to. He shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do it again. But also because it happened, and you know, knowing that Matt Hardy is more or less fine, like it makes me want to tune in for the storyline. Like I want to see what his response is next week. If they're going to push the story further, knowing they already did this.
Yeah. You made an interesting comment. You had a little back and forth. I think it was on YouTube where they're talking about this. And someone said they didn't like the fact that they were using the blood as a promotional tool, like to promote the feud. And you were like, no, it got me more interested in the match, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, it's exploiting a real life thing. He should be punished. You shouldn't glorify that. And there's that's a weird topic that gets brought up in wrestling maybe once every 10 years. Because I remember like maybe 10 years ago, Billy Kidman was giving a Shooting Star press and kneed Chavo Guerrero in the head. And he gave him a concussion. And that wasn't the only time that Billy Kidman gave someone a concussion. But they turned it into a storyline that be careful with Billy Kidman, he might give you a concussion. And like it's almost turning that it's almost like you get a bad grade at work or in school, and then the teacher's just like, well, he's being a bad boy at school, you know, like it's applauding the negative. Do you see that as a problem, or if it already happened, might as well use the footage?
No, you're right about that. I'm not a fan of that happening in the past because I don't trust 90s wrestling or even 2000s wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I trust AEW to not use it in an exploitive way, in the sense that, like, I think Matt Hardy has enough clout in the back that if he didn't want that to be used, he would say something. And, you know,
I'm not saying that he's being exploited, Matt. I'm saying they're just exploiting the bad circumstance. Oh, you know, if someone gets hurt in the ring and then they use it for a promo package, do you think that's acceptable because it's already happened? They damaged their body for this, might as well use it. Or do you think it's not acceptable because that was an accident in the ring and we shouldn't necessarily glorify those types of instances?
I got you. Yeah, it's a case by case situation. It depends on how severe the injury is, for sure. Like in this case, I think it really is nasty how deep that his wound was, but
yeah, it was gross.
But I assume he's fine, or else he wouldn't allow it. That's what I'm saying. It's like wrestling has this weird gray area that makes it fun between like jumping from reality to fiction. And this is like one of those perfect situations where like you could tell it didn't happen, but it makes the fictional aspect of it more exciting. So I think it's worth it to use that. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense.
Did you ever, you're not a fan, or you don't follow UFC, right?
I do-ish.
Do you know about this was like maybe 2 years ago with Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov? With the dolly throwing incident?
No.
All right, yeah, real quick. I guess, yeah, just real quick. They weren't scheduled to fight yet, although it was like obvious that was what the next fight was going to be. At some point, Khabib was going to fight somebody on a card, and Conor flew himself and like 5-10 something of his friends from Ireland to Brooklyn, broke into the Brooklyn Stadium, and found Khabib, who was in a shuttle bus with a bunch of other UFC fighters, and surrounded him trying to get him out of the bus, and then threw a dolly at the bus window, and the glass shattered, and actually got in one of the fighters' eyes, and he had to like pull out and get surgery, and that was insane. And Dana White said it was the most heinous, disgusting act in UFC history. And then cut to like 4 months later, when the Khabib Conor fight was announced, that dolly throwing incident was used in every single promotion for the event, and that got a lot of flack because it's a real life incident. This isn't pro wrestling. It's a very pro wrestling moment, but it's real fucking life that, and with real consequences. And that's what bothers me. That's why I feel like slightly better with this situation, because I've seen the UFC alternative.
And I bet not everyone gave consent for that. Like, not everyone on that bus, or not everyone that surrounded that bus, gave consent that, like, oh yeah, use my glass that was in my eye for a part of a storyline that I'm not a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I guess the difference is with wrestling, it's an accident that happens in the ring. And sure, it could be life-threatening, or it could be scary or dramatic, but that could be used. But when it's a personal issue, all consenting parties need to be talked to about it, but also good taste. You know, I guess it's one of those deals. Like, it's very discretionary.
Yeah, because this is like, you could say this is like a real life situation, a personal situation, using like this wound, you know, that.
Yeah.
But I don't. I think Matt's wife hated it. I think she was like very like vocal on Twitter about how like terrible that was. And even Matt like said some kind of like sort of mean spirited things on Twitter at first, where he's this ugly gash on my head or something, some sort of phrasing like that.
Well, so, I think he's. I almost chalk that up to him promoting a match. You know, I think, you know, accidents do happen. Sammy's dumb and reckless, but he's young, dumb, and reckless.
I hope he doesn't do it again. I hope that I hope he learns from it.
Because he's at two strikes.
Yeah,
he's at two strikes.
Yeah.
Let's hope for happier times. Anything else to add, Mo? Any other news that we didn't lose?
No, I think these are all the things that we kept on to. We I'm trying to that we did not lose. This is what I meant to say. That we held on to. That's what.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is the end of the week news. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling, the news you can't lose. My name is Red Jefferson. We're here with Moa Jaswal. Hello, Moa.
Moa Jaswal.
I said hello. Bye, bye, Moa.
Goodbye.
Follow us on Loser Lee's Wrestling on Instagram and our Apple, Spotify, all those things. Subscribe on YouTube, and Twitter is Loser Lee's Pod. Twitter is Loser Lee's Pod. That's the way.
There we go. Boom.